Do you trust our intelligence agencies? I sure don't.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. We got a lot of ground to cover today. I've got some thoughts to share about our intelligence agencies here in the United States, and this includes Canada, the United Kingdom, NATO, I'll be very blunt. And we'll also share the rest of the story that I started yesterday regarding former Congressman Matthew Gaetz. And what a bizarre story this is. And most of the mainstream media has never touched it. Even a lot of the conservative media have danced around it, and I don't understand why. It is a weird story. But I'm going to tell you, the more that I've read it, the more that I've studied it, and knowing what we know now, just in my lifetime, it becomes increasingly a very believable story. There's no doubt in my mind. What I will share with you has basis in fact. Our intelligence agencies, I'm sure, were birthed with the greatest of ideals for a good and worthy and righteous cause to protect our nation. But many of these kind of clandestine organizations begin to take on a life of themselves, their own internal structure, and they take the attitude, it's none of your business. None of the citizens' business. And some of that I can understand. But they don't even want oversight from presidents and congressmen and senators. No, they work in their own little bubble. And then a lot of people, even in our State Department here in the United States, take the same lousy and pretty much narcissistic attitude. We'll run the world. You just, you know, leave us. We'll take care of it. I believe our State Department, our intelligence apparatus, bureaucrats, unelected bureaucrats with too much power, too much money, have upset the world balance, put lives in danger. And I think millions of people over the years have needlessly lost their lives to these insane and corrupt individuals. Eisenhower warned us as he left office when he gave that speech in January of 1961. I was way too young to understand any of it at the time. But as I've grown up and I've heard these haunting words over the years, they were truly a warning in their time that sadly has become the reality of today.
A vital element in keeping the peace is our military establishment. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
So there you have it from the 16th of January in 1961. Dwight Eisenhower, President of the United States, just before John F. Kennedy took office, giving the warning about what he called
the military-industrial complex.
Now, let's put this into perspective. The military-industrial complex. Prior to the Second World War, the military-industrial complex really didn't exist. Not on a scale like we see today. When we entered the First World War, we got a little taste of gearing up for warfare. But see, our time spent in Europe was not all that long. There wasn't all that much built. We had been gradually building a navy and an army. It had its ups and downs since the beginning of this nation. And there were companies that could provide uniforms and arms. But the 20th century started bringing in a new kind of hardware. Aviation. Ironclad ships that no longer needed sails. Weaponry and cannons and missiles and rockets. Things that we didn't have prior that had to be manufactured. Ironically, between World War I and World War II, the United States, we didn't do all that much investing in our military. We had several reasons. Number one, people didn't want to get involved with foreign wars. All the way through the 1930s and coming out of the Depression, getting involved in a war overseas was not really what people in this country wanted to do. But we ended up in the Second World War. And because we were facing a war on two fronts, the Pacific and in Europe, our government borrowed tremendous amounts of money, borrowed money from its citizens in the form of war bonds and rationing. And women left their homes for the first time to go put rivets in aircraft, Rosie the Riveter, making armaments around the clock. B-17 bombers, Liberator bombers, battleships, cruise ships, aircraft carriers, the armaments of war. Companies like Ford Motor Company and many others geared up to build warfare. And a lot of small electronic companies became big companies. Some small aviation companies became massive, building for the war. So in 1945, when the war comes to an end, all of a sudden, now what are these companies going to do? How do they gear up for peacetime? And for many companies, it was not easy. I'm going to give you one example that I am aware of. Kind of know its history from those that were around at the time. A company called Raytheon built a tremendous amount of electronics used in the Second World War. Prior to the war, they were a smaller company building, you know, transmitters and radios. But they got a taste of the big dollars during World War II. After the war, they started building some broadcast transmitters, and these were definitely the Cadillac of their day. Actually had the privilege of working on one about 30 years ago that was still on the air near Macon, Georgia. Excellent condition, great sounding unit, well built, overbuilt really, for its time. But for a company like Raytheon, there just weren't not enough customers for broadcast transmitters and the gear like that, so they got out of the business. And they started pursuing predominantly military and military contracts. General Dynamics, another company. All these big companies are in the business of making war machinery. They are the military-industrial complex. If there's no war, there's no demand for their goods. So that's how we got organizations like NATO going. The threat of the Soviet Union, we just ended up creating an arms race beginning in the 1940s that have kept all of these companies in business for close to 80 years. Building new and bigger weapon systems. A lot of them on no-bid contracts or contract plus. In other words, yeah, we bid a price, but all the add-ons we're going to charge you dearly. It has become a cash-sucking industry of global proportions. And a lot of these companies are owned by the big investment banks, big investment firms like BlackRock, just to name one of many, Vanguard. Dwight Eisenhower had watched the buildup for war in the Second World War and then watched how the military-industrial complex and those pushing to be involved in never-ending conflicts around the globe. We've paid a dear price globally and spiritually in this never-ending quest for war. Now, do I believe there are times we should be at war? Yeah, absolutely. But some of the things that I've seen, and it's becoming more clear as the years go by, were totally unnecessary. The United States has not won a single war since 1945. That's 80 years ago almost. 80 years. But we've spent trillions of dollars in war equipment. We are deeply invested in Europe. We are deeply invested in Asia. We're deeply invested globally in manufacturing for war. And anybody that talks about peace, anybody that talks about trying to avoid war and spending less, becomes a pariah to the deep state military-industrial complex. This strange marriage of wealthy corporations and government insiders stirring the pot around the globe to keep the cash flowing. And then we have our intelligence agencies that work with our State Department and other deep state officials, always keeping unrest going somewhere on the globe, to always be on alert. Victoria Nuland, or Vicky Nuland, whatever you want to call her, is probably one of the most dangerous human beings to ever walk on the planet. She and her underlings, when she worked with the State Department, have caused more unrest and instability and cost more lives. But do they ever want to admit it? Of course not. Deep staters, neocons, whatever you want to call them, you find them in both parties. Ironically, and this is, let's think about this. I'm going to go back to my youth. Back in the 1970s, you know, many Democrats running for presidency or other offices were talking about peace and getting out of these wars like the Vietnam War and others. It's amazing that Democrats today have become today's new neocons, that and Rhino Republicans. They agree and they walk hand in hand like Pride Day talking about war. And I find it a very dangerous conversation. But here we are. Let's look at what's happening in Eastern Europe. How we got there is irrelevant, but where are we today? If you go back to 19, when you talk to the average person, you know, the mainstream media really pushed a very strange narrative, you know, Zelensky good, the Putin bad. I mean, just real simplistic, with no understanding of the history of the region, the history of the peoples, and all the international dynamics. All that's left off to the side. We don't want to talk about the facts. We don't want to talk about how we got to this war. Now, I'm going to preface what I'm about to say to remind you, there are a lot of things about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I disagree with. But there are some things that he discusses that are just factually correct and true. When he talks about the assassination of his uncle, you know, JFK, hard to believe he was assassinated a little over 61 years ago in Dallas, Texas. Robert F. Kennedy shares that in 1963, there were several things that John F. Kennedy was having an issue with. Number one, the CIA being out of control. And number two, this push to get involved in the war in Vietnam. You had intelligence apparatus trying to pull together things around the globe, and even down in Cuba, the Bay of Pigs, and all these other just clandestine failures, trying to goad us into war. And he wasn't having it. In fact, he was calling to lower the number of advisors in Vietnam by 1,000 people before the end of 1963. He wanted to get us out of there because he saw no future. Shortly after JFK was assassinated, Lyndon Johnson committed 250,000 troops and got us into the mess and quagmire we know as Vietnam. 50,000 Americans died. And for what? I can remember watching the TV in 1975, the helicopter grabbing the last people off the rooftop of the United States Embassy in Saigon. How embarrassing. All those lives lost for nothing. All those dollars spent, and then many exposed to chemicals like Agent Orange that have affected their and destroyed their lives for decades to come. The division that it cost us in this nation, the military-industrial complex. Robert F. Kennedy, in just a handful of words, talks about the mess that is now going on in Ukraine. And he tells you, like I do, this is a war that should never have happened. He points out the Russians tried repeatedly to settle on terms that were extremely beneficial, not just to Russia, but to the United States and even to Ukraine. The one thing they wanted from us, the United States, the one thing they wanted, the Russians, keep NATO out of Ukraine. And there's a reason. Ukraine borders on Russia. By the way, Ukraine was never a sovereign nation until 1992. It's always been somebody else's region or territory. So don't think it's some ancient nation. It isn't. The reason the Russians didn't want NATO's involvement, it would put weapons right on their border. It would be like, oh, it would be like China or North Korea cutting a deal with the Canadians or the Mexicans to put their weapons on our border, aimed at the United States. And honestly, on that one, I cannot blame the Russians at all. The other item is military contractors wanted to add new countries to NATO all the time. Because, see, if a new nation is sucked into the NATO vacuum cleaner, they have to conform to its military purchases to NATO weapon specifications, creating a just, well, imprisoned market. There's nowhere else to go. They all have to go to Northrop, Grumman, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, and Lockheed. The vendors, the big deep state vendors, the military industrial complex. In March of 2022, we committed $113 billion. That's the Biden administration. You know, that amount of money would have solved homelessness here in the United States. Neocons like Mitch McConnell, they actually admit that the funds really aren't going to Ukraine. They're going to American defense manufacturers. It's a money laundering scheme. Vanguard and BlackRock, they own many of these companies that are benefiting and profiting from this war. When we call it a loan, we impose conditions like austerity programs on Ukraine, which ensure the poor stay poor and require Ukraine to sell off its government-owned assets. By the way, they have a lot of rare earth minerals to multinational corporations. Ukraine's land is some of the richest farmland on the planet. Has been sold off 30% of it. It's already owned now by DuPont, Cargill, Monsanto, and all those companies are owned by BlackRock. President Biden awarded BlackRock the contracts to rebuild Ukraine. Think about that for just a moment. Considering all that, who really pushed for this war? The Russians? No. They spent a year warning, do not bring weapons onto our border in Ukraine. Remember, this is what Mind Syphilis and NBC doesn't understand. There is an agreement, an understanding signed by George H.W. Bush back in 1992 when Ukraine became a nation. That it would be a neutral nation to become a sovereign nation. We have violated that contract. All we've accomplished with the likes of Victoria Nuland and other really creepy people is unrest and death. 400 some odd thousand died unnecessarily in Ukraine. Donald Trump is right. This war never had to be fought. Had we just honored our agreements, had we not used our CIA and other intelligence apparatus to meddle in Ukraine, which we have done during the Obama years, we couldn't leave them alone. They were doing just fine without us meddling. But no, the Obama vermin screwed it up. wanted unrest, caused a color revolution, is what they call it, to overthrow a duly elected government. And we've been installing puppet regimes ever since. And now we have the guy that plays the piano with his penis as their president. What is a third-rate comedian? He's the president of Ukraine. He's a puppet. He's a buffoon. He's dangerous. But he's the buffoon and the puppet of the deep state. General Mike Flynn, who they tried to destroy in the early days of the Trump administration. And the reason they wanted to destroy him is because he tells the truth. He's not one of that military cabal of buffoons like General Thoroughly Modern Milley and a bunch of other wokesters that need to be busted down to the lowest rank and then thrown into Leavenworth for being traitors to this nation. General Mike Flynn sums it up this way. We're on the brink of World War III. Congress is ready to go on their recess for Thanksgiving, and the President of the United States has gone silent. Offensive exchanges of provocative and sophisticated weaponry, ours to start with, you know, the ATACMS being fired into Russia, occurring now, and then Russia firing back. The real potential for an escalation outside of the boundaries of a little regional war are as high as they could ever be. The military-industrial complex could care less if you or I die or whatever. As long as they're in the game, they don't care. And so that's why somebody like a Donald Trump being an interrupter is such a dangerous thing to the military-industrial complex. They have become the unwarranted beast that Eisenhower warned us about. Where is that balance of being able to protect our interest and our people compared to feeding the never-ending hunger of a deadly beast? And we have long since crossed that line. I don't trust our military leaders anymore. I don't trust many of our politicians, even so-called Republican GOP types. A bunch of them are just filthy lying neocons. You know, they got their hand out too. They talk out of both sides of their double chin mouths, or triple chinned when it comes to Lindsey Graham. He's got a few chins going on. I don't trust him. That's why I shared that song yesterday. I'm not going to do it today. We have to take America back. We've long had problems in this nation. We're no different than we were, let's say, 30, 50 years ago. We've always had problems. But we're bringing it to the point where it could explode into global war. And understand something else. Ukraine is not a democracy. In fact, Vladimir Zelensky is running it like a dictator. Canceled elections. Might have them next year. We'll see. Had Kamala Harris won, there would have been no elections. Trust me. It's all about money, power, land grabs, natural resources, and NATO expansion for defense contractor profits. And all that aid to Ukraine is nothing but money laundering. The people's lives in Ukraine are being destroyed while the rest laugh like fat cats to the bank. When I get back, I'm going to share the rest of the story about Matt Gaetz and how much they've lied about him and tried to destroy him with such a bizarre campaign that it's the most unbelievable story, but I believe it. because I've been looking at what our own intelligence agencies have been doing the past, since the Kennedy assassination. And I really believe it's our own CIA that pulled that one off, because they're the ones that wanted the war. Maybe that's why they didn't want us to see all the documentation for 76 years. Want to make sure that all the people involved were dead and gone. If you believe in what we're trying to do here, by the way, I want to just remind you, Thursday's program is going to be an encore from last year. My voice is giving out, and my doctor is saying I need to get some rest, but I have nobody to really do the program, so I'm struggling through, doing the best that I can. I do need to get some rest to get my health back. And so Thursday, I'm taking it off, and everything's set up for the best of. Don't know what I'm going to be doing for Friday. Tomorrow, I think I've got tomorrow's program somewhat planned. But we do want to stay on shortwave radio, and I want to just say a couple of quick things. A lot of people say, we need more shortwave. Yeah, we need more. Yeah. And stations need to buy new transmitters. It's not happening. The equipment is so prohibitively expensive these days. And here in the United States, there is only one company I'm aware of that even makes it anymore. That's Continental Electronics, and their stuff's expensive. Companies like Gates, RCA, new companies like Nautel, they don't touch shortwave at all, and they're not going to. A lot of people say, well, can't you call this company? Don't they make... No, those... And a lot of transmitter manufacturers have gone out of business. The world has changed. It's true, China makes them. Russia still makes tubes. And some of the folk in the Middle East are buying Chinese transmitters. They're the only ones that really see a future. The amount of radios out there, there's a lot of them, but it's not really a growing market. And so before somebody spends $1 million to buy a transmitter, you need to know you got a return on that investment, plus the massive power bill, the $30,000 and $40,000 tubes. You know, it does add up. I'm so thankful for the stations that we are on. And I do all that I can to help them stay functioning. If my health was better, I would actually be working on a transmitter right now in Florida. Because there's not many of us left to do this kind of work, and nobody in today's age wants to do it. So that creates a problem. But if you believe in our ministry, would you consider maybe supporting us? You can go to our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. That zip code again, 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Heart of the Soldier and the Fisherman, coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're really going to love in a moment. The Book of Acts is a Roman soldier with an open heart, loving the Jewish people, not bound by his Roman traditions or his past life or his culture. He's open to the God of Israel. He's praying, and God answers him and tells him to send for a Jewish man named Shimon or Simon. He's open, so he does it. Meanwhile, there's a Jewish man, Shimon, is in the seaside city of Joppa, goes up on the roof, sees a vision of unkosher food, could have been pigs, crabs, eels, all sorts of stuff, and God tells him to rise, kill, and eat. The God of Israel, who gave the law, the rules of kosher and non-kosher, is telling him to eat unkosher. God's blowing his mind. Open him up. But it's not about food. It's about people who are called unkosher, the Gentiles. God's opened up the heart of this Jewish man to the Gentile and the heart of the Gentile to this Jewish man. Both need to be open to what God has. And both of them, they're going to see something bigger than anything they imagine. Because this Roman soldier is Cornelius, the Jewish fisherman is Simon Peter, and their meeting together is going to affect human history. It's going to change the course of human history. In fact, you being saved is probably part of it. The words of Abraham, or to Abraham, in your seed, all nations will be blessed, are going to be fulfilled through this. Who knows what God has for you? You can be sure, though, it's better than what you have in store. He knows the plans. It's bigger and greater than what you can imagine. So the key is, like these people, you have to be open. You have to have an open heart. Open your heart, your mind, your life, your will, your footsteps to believe and to step out, to walk in faith for what God has, the unknown, the unbelievable. And God will do a miracle. And who knows? Could change the world. Want more? Ask for the Pork Chop People on CD. Now imagine being plugged in on a special line that lets you in on future events, news behind the news, biblical prophecy, updates on Israel and what you need to know as an end-time believer, plus teachings and strength for every day of your week, and the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD, all free. How do you get all this? Easy. Just remember Jesus real Hebrew name Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. So to receive your free gift, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA, Y-E-S-H-U-A, and the number 1. I invite you to join me to reach the unreached peoples of the world, most incredible way from Moscow to Madagascar, even to Jerusalem. It's amazing. Imagine blanketing the earth with salvation. You can do it. Make your life have impact on this generation. You can do it. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A-1. You can write me direct. Here's the direct address. It's the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip, it's 07644. That's Box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. Zip, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, a Messiah, Ro'eh HaTov, the Good Shepherd.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of this Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm going to try to quickly go through this crazy Matt Gaetz story and what he went through starting back in 2021. And I've tried to read through this. I'm trying to find a way to share this story without going down so many rabbit holes, I get you confused. But then again, these kind of stories always seem to have a lot of rabbit holes by design. Not Gaetz's design, but those that try to destroy him or use him. I mean, we're looking at everything from extortion to bribery. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And the more I've studied this, the more I'm the crazier the story is. So crazy, you know, it involves kidnapped people in Iran. It the deep state, names like Andrew McCabe come up. Remember him? That sleaze bucket from the FBI? Yeah, that Andy McCabe. Part of the Russian collusion delusion. All these names keep coming back. And if you've listened to this radio program long enough, you know that I have a disdain for fake, phony, fraudulent conservative rhinos. And I wasn't a great fan of Kevin McCarthy. And when Matt Gaetz came after him, they've been waiting to be able to smash and destroy Matt Gaetz for what he did in getting McCarthy kicked out of the speakership of the House of Representatives. There's a lot of pieces that are bouncing in the air, and it's hard to follow. So you have what happened, the man in Iran. We talked about when Matt Gaetz appeared on the Tucker Carlson program in March of 21, one Tuesday night. The New York Times having a bombshell story that there was an investigation by the DOJ that Gaetz had some kind of engaged in sex with an underage girl. A girl whose ID said otherwise, because that ID was obtained by another sleaze bucket that worked as a tax commissioner in Florida, which is where you get your driver's licenses and IDs from. I mean, this whole convoluted tale, it interweaves with itself all over. And then the DOJ's so-called secret investigation. And the truth is, you know and I know, that if Merrick Garland, when he took over as head of the Department of Justice, Attorney General, if there was any tangible goods on Matt Gaetz, they would have sprung into action and crushed him like a bug. Now, rather than go down a couple of dozen rabbit holes of all the twists and turns in this case, I'm just going to kind of sum it up where things stand today. Remember the name I mentioned yesterday, Joel Greenberg. He was the official in the state of Florida in the tax office, the one that also was spending $70,000 of government money on prostitutes, underage and otherwise, at the Sugar Daddy website. So let's kind of sum up where we are. Joel Greenberg eventually pled guilty to sex trafficking, identity fraud, wire fraud, and a host of other charges back in May of 2021. And he was sentenced to 11 years of prison, 10 of those coming from the mandatory minimum from the sex trafficking charge. You following so far? And this is the guy that had gotten fake IDs for the underaged girl who looks older than her years. I mean, you can't convict anybody of statutory rape with her technically being underage if she's using a real state of Florida driver's license to present her fake age. But of course, being it's the swamp, that's not where the troubles end. The real slime buckets in D.C. have held on to this to milk it for all it's worth. Like I say, when Gates went after McCarthy during the speaker fight, they started plotting to get their revenge. Remember, the Department of Justice, they did not close their case against Matt Gaetz until October of 2022, 2 years ago. They never have acknowledged why he was not charged, although it becomes fairly obvious now when you learn that Joel Greenberg had produced fake IDs for anybody involved that was being used to entrap Matt Gaetz. And then the extortion attempts against his father of $25 million in exchange for dropping charges that were bogus to begin with. The question I have, was Joel Greenberg running what they call a honeypot scheme? And if so, who would he be doing it for? It'd be nice if we could find out. Maybe a new attorney general, you know, an honest one, might be able to help us out in that regard. There is so much that happens in that swamp in D.C. By the way, I was reading another story, just comes to mind, that the CIA and they have been running these kind of sex pot operations all over the planet. In addition, you ready for this? We now know that intelligence agencies control major pornography and dating sites to collect data to blackmail Americans. Let me say that again. We now know that our intelligence agencies have deep control into major pornography and dating sites to collect compromising information for blackmailing people. There's a good reason if you've ever considered going to a porn site, don't do it. They are watching and they're collecting it. Do you trust our intelligence agencies? I sure don't. They're really not out to protect your interest or mine. They're protecting the money bags, the bankers, and the globalists. Because if the truth be known, they may take your money, your tax money, for their paychecks and their toys and their travel. But those that really pull the strings to keep them in business It's not the United States Senate. It's not the House of Representatives. It's not the president. They work for the bureaucracy class that thinks that they're entitled. And that is what I pray, if it is all possible, and this may be the greatest miracle of all miracles, to break up the nonsense that goes on in the bureaucracies. One thing I read that was encouraging, and like I said, I just want to finish up with Matt Gaetz here. They've been working to try to entrap him and destroy him. Maybe he's smart not coming back to the House of Representatives. Maybe it's time that he put together his own think tank and take down those that tried to take down him. One of the things that can be done, a lot of people say, well, I wonder how much can they accomplish in dismantling a lot of our government? Probably a lot more than you think. Because of that Chevron ruling that came out a while back, a lot of these agencies' rules and regulations may not be constitutional. And so you start by using artificial intelligence and a bank of lawyers to go through those regulations and start shutting down unconstitutional regulations, and then you can gradually eliminate redundant people. By the way, they think that one of the ways to get rid of some people, just say, hey, you can't work in your pajamas from home anymore. You got to come to work. That'll get rid of a lot of the workforce that gets paid lots of money in D.C. And now to help save my voice a little bit, my friend Frank Silvato from Underground USA put together a little segment which is very timely, that I want to share with you now before we conclude today's program. So here's my friend, Frank Silvato from Underground USA.
No fear, no political correctness, no wokeism. You're listening to Underground USA.
Thanks for downloading, listening, and sharing. My name is Frank Silvato. You can find everything we do at undergroundusa.com. As the mainstream media in the United States suffocates itself superficially on President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominees, an important international story goes unnoticed. It has everything to do with geopolitics and the perceived act of sabotage, and it warrants concern. The Swedish Prosecution Authority has launched an investigation into suspected sabotage related to disruptions of two crucial undersea fiber optic cables in the Baltic Sea. One cable connects Lithuania to Sweden, while the other links Finland to Germany. This investigation comes on the heels of Finland's announcement of its own police inquiry into these incidents, indicating a broader concern about the integrity of the critical infrastructure in that region. On Monday, at about 2 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time, the 745-mile cable connecting Helsinki, Finland to Rostock, Germany, ceased functioning, as reported by Sinia, the Finnish state-controlled cybersecurity and telecom company responsible for the cable. Simultaneously, at around 8 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time on Sunday, Telia Yotuva, a subsidiary of Sweden's Telia company, reported a severed 135-mile cable between Lithuania and Gotland Island in Sweden. The Baltic Sea, bordered by 9 countries, including Russia, is a vital commercial shipping route. As such, ensuring the integrity of its underwater infrastructure is of utmost importance. In a joint statement, Finland and Germany expressed deep concern regarding the severed undersea cables, emphasizing its broader implications for European security. They stated, "We are openly concerned about the severed undersea cable," underscoring that Europe's security is threatened by Russia's war against Ukraine and hybrid warfare by malicious actors. Though no specific actors were identified, the statement highlighted the critical need to protect shared infrastructure, essential for national security and societal resilience. Heinrich Soderman, a Swedish prosecutor engaged in the investigation, announced that the cutting of the fiber optic cables is currently being treated as an act of sabotage. At an EU defense ministers meeting in Brussels, German defense minister Boris Pistorius addressed the situation, noting,
"No one believes that these cables were cut accidentally. We must assume, although we don't have confirmation, that this is indeed sabotage."
Recent damage to underwater infrastructure in the Baltic Sea has raised significant regional security concerns. One notable incident in 2023 involved a Chinese container ship that was implicated in dragging its anchor across telecommunications cables. The exact cause of this incident, accidental or deliberate, remains uncertain. However, the repeated occurrences of such events have sparked suspicions of potential hybrid sabotage. As a result, there are increasing calls for enhanced protective measures to safeguard Europe's underwater networks. The ongoing incidents in the region highlight a significant concern. Recently, similar actions have been scrutinized for their potentially malicious intent. Last year, incidents involving a gas pipeline and other undersea cables raised suspicions of sabotage as well. This situation echoes the 2022 Nord Stream pipeline explosions, which are under investigation by German authorities. One EU source with deep knowledge of the situation stated that other available information indicates Russia has been behaving increasingly provocatively along its borders with Norway and Finland.
"Russia must be behind what looks like an attack, in which case it is a casus belli, act of war, not simply sabotage. They should stop trying to reassure the public. They sound silly. This was to be expected in a sense. As regards the Baltic states, Putin must be trying to isolate some countries from the rest of the NATO and EU spheres. These are normal tactics."
Vladimir Putin's aggressive maneuvers in the Baltic Sea, particularly in relation to NATO countries, are significant in light of his ongoing conflict with Ukraine. These actions carry important implications for the United States, especially for the incoming Trump administration. The Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, are members of NATO, and as such, any attack on these countries could trigger Article 5 of the NATO Treaty. This article stipulates that an attack against one member is considered an attack against all. Consequently, the United States, as a founding member of NATO, would be obligated to respond militarily. Such a scenario could potentially lead to direct conflict between the U.S. and Russia, significantly escalating tensions in the region. The potential for conflict is heightened by North Korea's deployment of military assets in the region to support the Russian war effort. The situation is further complicated by President Biden's dangerous decision to permit Ukraine's military to utilize U.S.-made long-range missiles, which President Putin interprets as a direct engagement of the U.S. in the conflict. Putin's use of hybrid warfare tactics, such as cyber attacks and disinformation campaigns, affects not only the regional landscape, but also NATO's broader security framework, with the United States playing a pivotal role. These tactics challenge NATO's resilience and heighten the likelihood that the U.S. will need to provide technological and intelligence support to counter these threats. As tensions escalate, the U.S. could find itself entangled in Russian information operations designed to instigate discord among NATO members and within the United States. These activities could significantly impact public opinion, influence elections, and alter the political landscape to the detriment of the West. Additionally, the United States has a vested interest in promoting European energy independence as it seeks to diminish Russian influence over European politics. The Baltic Sea plays a critical role in this context, serving as a key conduit for energy security through pipelines such as the Nord Stream. Any disruptions in this region not only impact European allies, but also have significant repercussions for U.S. economic interests and the overall transatlantic economic relationship. So Russia's aggressive actions are coaxing the United States to become more deeply involved in European security decisions. While this engagement is essential to maintain, it aligns more with the interests of the global elite, the U.S. military complex, and the opportunistic elements of the deep state than it does with the needs of the American people. The geopolitical challenges and the political landmines left by the Obama-Biden-Harris administrations and the Sorosian global elite present immediate hurdles for Donald Trump upon his rightful return to the Oval Office. This is one reason the mainstream media's and the uniparty political establishment's obsession with Trump's cabinet picks is inane and, in fact, vacuous. While dealing with this dangerous and complex situation is undoubtedly challenging, there is a silver lining in knowing that the intellectual inability of the Obama 2.0 neo-Marxist left, ideologues such as Susan Rice, Samantha Power, and Antony Blinken, along with other remnants of the Obama administration, that the inability of the Obama 2.0 neo-Marxist left to effect effective diplomatic and strategic solutions is soon becoming inconsequential, for they are no longer steering the ship. That said, the disruption of internet communications in Europe affects the United States a lot more than realized at face value. And it's a hell of a lot more serious than a buffering problem on Netflix.
Well, I want to thank you, Frank, for sharing that with my audience today. I want to thank all of you that listen to Truth to Ponder. These past several weeks, I've been not doing well health-wise. I've been fighting a bunch of stuff, ended up in the hospital for a while, and we're still waiting for additional appointments as they try to narrow down what this could be. I get worn out easy, and it's hard sometimes to do this radio program. My voice has been getting weak, and my doctor has been advising I do need to take a little time really soon and get some very much needed rest. I want to thank all of you that support this radio program. I know over the next week or two there's going to be probably a guest host or two, but if you really want this to stay on the air, it really depends upon you. Would you visit our website, truth2ponder.com? Truth, the numeral or number two, truth2ponder.com. There we use Give, Send, Go, and many of you have availed yourself to using Give, Send, Go, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Give, Send, Go is a Christian online donation processing company, and we've had excellent relations with them since we went to them a long time ago. If for some reason you need to use PayPal, send me an email at bob@truth2ponder.com, bob@truth2ponder.com, and I will give you the instructions for PayPal. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319, and make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth, the number two, and the word ponder.com. That's truth, the number two, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.